Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you. You've got us until 5 o'clock tonight. Cavaliers are on a road trip right now and in the midst of a pretty tough losing skid as well. Joining us on the hotline right now to shed some light on that is the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. Tim joins us every week thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And if you stay tuned to the very end of the interview, you'll have to listen for your cue to call to see what kinds of goodies that we are giving away thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Tim, this morning you are coming our way from South Beach. How are things down in Miami?
Well, things are pretty warm, although, boy, we got a cold welcome last night from the Miami Heat. Wow. They really took it to the Cavaliers on Wednesday night. So we'll see how they bounce back. Another tough one tomorrow night in Dallas. But so far, so good as far as everything else is concerned here in Miami.
Well, you mentioned it's been tough sledding for the Cavaliers of late. And look, this has been a road trip that certainly has been tough going all the way back to the very first day of it, a few days back playing in Madison Square Garden. And look, with this team, you mentioned this about a month or so ago, they'll be exciting, but excitement doesn't always lead to wins and losses. It's one of those things where they're going to take their lumps along the way. Tim, they've taken a lot of those lumps over the last week or so. What are some things that kind of stand out to you about this team since our last conversation? And we'll begin this, as we usually do, with our Tim Alcorn for Three segment. Your three major takeaways from what you have seen from the Cavaliers over the last 7 days.
Well, I think takeaway number one is this team is very thin, meaning they don't have a lot of depth and they don't have a lot of room to maneuver. So if guys aren't playing, that doesn't bode well. And, of course, Monday night it was Kevin Love and Larry Nance Jr. That didn't go in New York. We saw what happened there. Wednesday night in Miami, Tristan Thompson gets a night off. They had looked at the analytics and the load management, and they thought this is a good night to give Tristan off. Well, he's out of the lineup, and things didn't go well. So that would be take number one, that basically the Cavs have to be going at full strength to have the ability to compete. And then using that word compete, I think take number two would be that they haven't competed to John Beilein's liking the past few games. You can go out and you can lose a ball game. There's nothing wrong with that, especially the process that the Cavs are going through right now. But if you lose and you don't compete to the level that you should, there's no lesson being learned at that point. So I think that's point two. He wants to see the Cavaliers compete a little bit better. I think that's why the three starters that weren't starting the second half last night against Miami, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Jetty Osman, I think that's why they were watching for a while. And then take number three would be the Cavaliers have to almost play perfect basketball to compete with the really, really good teams. I mean, talent-wise, they just don't measure up. So they can't afford to make mistakes. And we've just seen far too many mistakes the past five games.
With a young team, you always worry about a not necessarily lengthy road trip, but a week that it's loaded to the gills with games. And I know in our last conversation, we alluded to that. This week, the Cavs are going to have five games. It's rare that you see that on an NBA schedule, but that's what the Cavaliers are dealt with this week. And that seems to be one of those things that has caught up to the Cavaliers. Now, you're going to have your veterans taking days off on the back-to-backs, and that's to be expected. You think that's been one of the issues, too, with some of the younger guys kind of trying to get used to the NBA workload?
Boy. Well, that's a great question, and I was actually thinking about that earlier today, just taking a walk around Miami. I thought, boy, could these youngsters have hit a wall already? And I highly doubt that. I mean, we're only at 14, 15 games into the season, so I don't know about that. But there certainly is there's life in the NBA and getting used to that life and all of the traveling and the back-to-backs. Heck, you know, those young kids are getting used to it, so am I. I mean, it's an adaption. And so for those guys to go out and actually play NBA-caliber basketball night in and night out, that's a challenge in its own right.
It absolutely is. And look, I mean, we could sit here and play the schedule game all day long, but early on, it's been tough for the Cavaliers in that regard. And I think you see some of that especially early on in the year, as these guys, most of them anyways, get used to that NBA lifestyle. And to go back to one of your previous points, Tim, this team isn't very deep right now. And because of that, these guys are going to end up playing more minutes, more valuable minutes. But that certainly comes at a price, and that's why you see so many veterans in the NBA not play on back-to-back nights. They'll take one of those nights off because they've got to keep themselves fresh and ready down the stretch. And we're a long ways away from the finish line here, but I think if there's some silver lining in this, it's that when you see the Kevin Loves and the Tristan Thompsons play, these guys seem to be fresh, and they seem to be ready this year, Tim, and that's not necessarily something that we said about those two guys last year because they were dinged up.
Well, and also, Bull, the fact that when they were out last year, you saw the impact it had on this basketball team. So they need those guys in the lineup. But, yeah, and for the youngsters, it's valuable playing time. You know, there's an old saying, you can't buy experience off the shelf. These guys have to play. And so, you know, when you see a McKinney out there and you see those young guys out there, they're gaining valuable experience. Unfortunately, it's in tough circumstances because normally the Cavs, or I should say recently, not normally, more recently the Cavs have been trailing big when those guys get into the ball game. But you've got to see what these kids are made of. And again, don't forget, there's a third number one pick that still hasn't seen the floor in Dylan Windler. And once he gets healthy and ready to go, they're going to find a way for him to get minutes as well. So it's a real juggling act that John Beilein has to play, but, you know, it's what he signed up for, and certainly he was aware of the process. I think he's frustrated a little bit, but, again, you're going to have a lot of the roller coaster as far as this year is concerned.
We are being joined by the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn, and it's brought to you by our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You mentioned Dylan Windler, and I want to stay on him for just a moment. It seems like he is a lot closer to coming back, although I know the Cavaliers are going to be very, very cautious with him because of the nature of his injury. There were some rumors about the Cavaliers potentially sending him down to the G League to play with the Canton Charge just to kind of get his feet wet. Any update on when we might be able to see him on the floor again?
Well, he's been out longer than the original prognosis. I think the original was 4 to 6, and I want to say we're up near 7 or 8 now. So this thing has been going on for a while. And I don't know about the G League. I agree with you. I've read that. I've heard that. There certainly hasn't been any confirmation on that from the Cavaliers. I do know John Beilein really likes Dylan Windler. You know, he does get some practice time in with the team, non-contact and that sort of thing. You watch him shoot, and he can light it up. And I think they're going to want to get him minutes on the floor ASAP when he comes back because, you know, no knock on Jetty Osmond, but they're just not getting any points from that three spot. So, you know, if Windler's a guy that can come in and knock down some buckets and spread the floor a little bit, that bodes well for the Cavaliers offensively. So I don't know what his anticipated return date is. I would think it's getting very close. But as you said, Bull, they're not going to want to chance it. And as far as him playing down in Canton, I don't think anything's been confirmed on that. But, you know, I would think it's something the Cavaliers would certainly take a look at.
Not to mention, you know, the floor spacing seems like he could help out a ton with that. You alluded to that a couple of moments ago. And all the things you hear about Dylan Windler, he's a great cutter. He can knock down outside shots. And it seems like the Cavaliers really need that. Not that any team in the NBA doesn't. But, Tim, that seems like an area where they have especially struggled this season. The three-point percentage, a lot lower than they would like at this point. And I don't know that you could really pinpoint one or two guys specifically that are struggling in that area. Can you explain why overall as a team they're having a hard time knocking down those shots?
Well, that's a great question. I think, number one, as you said, they don't really have that three-point artist, you know, that guy that can just come in and knock down that three ball on a consistent level. They don't have that. Jordan Clarkson has hit some coming off the bench, but you look at that starting five, Garland still hasn't found that shooting touch. I think he can be a long-distance threat, but it hasn't developed so far. I don't think Colin Sexton offers that type of opportunity. I mean, he can drive and slash, and I'm not saying he can't hit a jump shot, but he certainly isn't a consistent three-point shooter. So I think they need that, what they call a stretch three. They need that three small forward, stretch the floor, spread guys out, and knock down shots. And I think when you look at the draft class, you look at a guy like Garland, more of a point. You look at Porter, kind of that swing guy, and you look at Windler, more of the stretch guy. They took three different, distinct type of players, and I think they're hoping that Windler can be that guy to hit those shots from the outside. It opens everything else up if he does.
Confidence, certainly a big part of that equation. And I know last week we got into Darius Garland and how he's kind of played more of the role as the facilitator in that offense. But there were some expectations. You pick a guy fifth overall that he can knock down some outside shots. I know one of the first conversations we had, you know, we were kind of enamored with the quick trigger that he's displayed at times this year. You think it's a matter of confidence with him and just kind of getting comfortable before he catches fire from beyond the arc?
I do. I also think, again, he only played five college games last year, and then he sat for a long time. It wasn't the last five, it was the first five. So he hadn't seen live game action for a long time. So now he goes from playing five college games at the beginning of last year to getting thrust into the NBA. Obviously, the adapting to the NBA game and just shaking that rust off. And I think once the first few didn't go down for him, yeah, his confidence was shaken. So I think it's a combination of both, Bull.
Kevin Porter Jr. is a name that we absolutely positively have to discuss, because I think we're getting more than just flashes from him. And when the Cavaliers don't play great, you're always looking for a silver lining. I got to tell you, I mean, as much as we sit here and talk about Garland, we talk about Sexton, and, you know, of course, Love and Thompson will come to the forefront as well. The one guy that seems to pop to the front of the conversation every time I bring up the Cavaliers is Kevin Porter Jr. Maybe it's because of where he was picked and the Cavs fans are hoping they got a steal in him. But Tim, every night you watch him, he's doing something special. And there are a lot of people around here that I almost get the impression are kind of counting on him to really be the jewel of this year's class with the Cavaliers.
I'll tell you what, you literally took the words I was going to use. You know, maybe the steal of the first round. I think this kid is dynamic. Another one where he's learning the NBA games. You know, we talked about Garland playing five games. I think Porter played four at USC. So a very limited college career, but he, and I've said this at the risk of repeating myself, but when you and I have talked about Porter, he brings an electrifying presence to the floor. There's an energy that he brings. And, yeah, he's going to make some mistakes out there. He's a first-year player, but then he'll do something and you go, wow, look at this kid. He's got potential. We saw that Monday night in New York. Again, for the most part, you can throw that game away, but, well, you look at Kevin Porter Jr.'s performance, got thrust into the starting lineup, didn't let Madison Square Garden and the aura of that get to him. At a season high, which is obviously a career high in your rookie year, 18 points. I mean, he answered the bell, and I think the Cavaliers are very high on Kevin Porter. I think they realize he's somewhat of a project. It's going to take some time, but, boy, the flashes of brilliance that he shows on occasion, it gives you a lot of reason to get excited about him.
My guess is that name's going to come up again a time or two before we get to the end of the season, because you're right.
Absolutely.
He brings a certain kind of electricity to the floor for sure. Well, they're going to need that electricity because, well, these next two games are going to be awfully tough, and it's a quick turnaround as well. You guys are in Dallas tomorrow night, and then, of course, you come back home on Saturday to take on the Portland Trailblazers. Tim, if you can't give us a preview, what kinds of things do you expect to see from the Cavaliers against two very good teams and a little bit less than 24 hours removed from the tip-off time in both games?
Yeah, we talk about that NBA schedule and the NBA lifestyle back-to-back to start the week. Sunday, Monday with Philly and New York, back-to-back to end the week at Dallas, long flight home, and then Portland on Saturday. So you're right, it's been a rigorous week, and it will be for this basketball team. Of course, with Dallas, it all starts with Luka Doncic, perhaps one of the top players in the NBA. He is just elite. He's doing things that are just incredible. We saw him have a great performance at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse a couple of weeks ago. he's incredibly special. You add Porzingis into that, and Dallas is a team that certainly can make some noise as far as the Western Conference is concerned. And then, as I said, you get on a plane, you fly back home. You got Portland on Saturday night. Their record isn't as good as I think people thought it would be. They go out, they sign Carmelo Anthony. He starts in his very first game for Portland. Of course, they've got that great backcourt. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough weekend for the Cavaliers, and we'll see how it plays out. I know they're kind of down after losing five in a row, and they're trying to find a way to snap out of it. We'll see if John Beilein continues with the lineup change or at least make some changes. He didn't start those three guys in the second half last night in Miami, so we'll see what he does tomorrow night in Dallas.
Well, Tim, enjoy your final hours in South Beach. Enjoy Dallas, and then get back here safely on Saturday, my friend. Have a great call.
And you enjoy the boys' basketball preview. I'll be on the WEOL mobile app tonight. Tell all those guys I said hello. I miss them dearly and look forward to seeing them at some point during the upcoming season. But have a great time over at the Brew Kettle. Make sure you get the sweet potato fries bowl. The sweet potato fries.
That's right, with the honey butter. You can't miss that.
Yeah.
It's a golden opportunity spoiled if you don't get the honey butter as well, man. You got to get that when you go to the Brew Kettle.
Right. Hey, have a great time over there tonight. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
That's Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cavaliers, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. All right. Phone lines are open, 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. We're giving away a Cavaliers Mystery Prize to win. All you have to do is call 440-322-0930. We'll take the first caller. All right, let's get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I return after this on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.